Good morning, welcome, or good afternoon, or good evening. You know, I'm here in the morning, live on Facebook, but you might be listening later on YouTube, podcast, whatever it is. I'm glad you're here. This is Jennifer Richmond, and this is the Dwelling Richly Bible Study. We're going to get into the Word today. We are in Ephesians chapter 1. We've done our read-through. We've done some background, and today we're going to get right into chapter 1 and start digging in. So grab your Bible and maybe a pen. Grab your study notes. If you don't already have your study notes, go online to La Mirada Christian Church's website. Go to the Women's Ministry Bible Study page and check it out there. Get the download that study and follow along. It's a great study, great time in the Word, and a wonderful book written by Paul that we're going to dig into. So let's go ahead and do that. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the day before us and the opportunity that we have right now to be in your Word, whether we're by ourselves or together with friends or listening online or wherever we are. Thank you that we can be with you. We thank you for your Word, how it changes us, how it helps us to rethink and know you better. And we would come to your Word with humility today and ask that you would help us to see, understand, and know you truly today. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, let's do this. So grab your Bible study page. We're on day 3, Ephesians chapter 1, verses 1 through 14. We're actually going to do this in two parts. It's a big section, lots of content, and it's pretty much one long sentence or two. So Paul is amazing at and very skilled in his writing, and he writes long sentences. So I wrote this all out in the study as one big chunk and then divided it up into 2 days. And I found a kind of a good 50-50 spot there so we wouldn't be here for an hour together. Although I would love that. I know not everybody has that kind of time in the morning. But I'm glad that you're here for whatever time you do have. So we're going to read through the chapter first and then dig into the Word. So Ephesians chapter 1 and just the whole chapter. Read right straight through it. Here we go. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus, by the will of God, to the saints who are in Ephesus and are faithful in Christ Jesus. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places, even as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and blameless before him. In love, he predestined us for adoption as sons through Jesus Christ, according to the purpose of his will, to the praise of his glorious grace, with which he has blessed us in the Beloved. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses, but according to the riches of his grace, which he lavished upon us in all wisdom and insight, making known to us the mystery of his will, according to his purpose, which he set forth in Christ as a plan for the fullness of time, to unite all things in him, things in heaven and things on earth. In him we have obtained an inheritance, having been predestined according to the purpose of him who works all things according to the counsel of his will, so that we, who were the first to hope in Christ, might be to the praise of his glory. In him you also, when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, and believed in him, were sealed with the promised Holy Spirit, who is the guarantee of our inheritance until we acquire possession of it to the praise of his glory. That's Ephesians 1, 1 through 14. Let's get into the study now. So, from Ephesians 1, 1 through 12, and also Acts 9, 15 through 16, we're going to read in just a second. What does Paul's greeting, along with the testimony of the Lord at his conversion in Acts chapter 9, tell you about Paul's authority to bring God's word? He has a unique position of authority among the apostles because he has a unique relationship. And let's find out a little bit about that by going back to Acts chapter 9. So we dug into Acts quite a bit yesterday. But let's get into Acts 9 today and re-encounter Paul's original conversion, how he was converted to Christ. Now, we're not going to read the whole chapter. I'd really encourage you to go back after we finish this lesson today. Just read through, well, for crying out loud, read through all of Acts. At least read through Acts chapter 9 and get to know Paul and what he was like before he was converted and at his conversion. But let's read Acts 9, 15 and 16, just for that little section there. But the Lord said to him, "Go, for he, Paul, is chosen instrument of mine to carry my name before the Gentiles and kings and the children of Israel, for I will show him how much he must suffer for the sake of my name." Wow. All right. I think my phone's on vibrate. Let me turn that off so I don't get that in the middle of our talk here. There we go. That'll work out better. All right. Did you catch that? I got distracted by my phone. I'm going to read it again. Go. This is God speaking to Ananias. But the Lord answered him, "Go, for he, Paul, is a chosen instrument of mine to carry my name before the Gentiles and kings and the children of Israel." It's quite a scope, isn't it? "For I will show him how much he must suffer for the sake of my name." So this is God's initial connection, explaining what's going to happen with Paul, and that Ananias was going to be a big part of that, and getting that started in Paul's life. Now let's go back to Ephesians 1 and 1 through 2. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus, by the will of God. Did you catch that? It was the will of God. God was very explicit in his will about Paul's life and what Paul would be doing in his ministry, wasn't he? Back in Acts 9 when he spoke to Ananias. "To the saints who are in Ephesus and are faithful in Christ Jesus, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ." So he, Paul, was a chosen instrument of God to carry his name to the Gentiles, to kings, and to the Jews. And he was selected by the will of God, as we found out in Acts chapter 9. Interesting, isn't it? It's always better when you understand the background, who somebody is, who they're writing to, and what their experience was that brought them to this place. And to keep in mind, as we're reading these epistles, these were meant to be circulated among the people in the region that they were written, unless they were written personally to someone, and that this wasn't written in a vacuum, any more than you writing a letter today to somebody wouldn't be written in a vacuum. It was based on a relationship that you have with you and your niece who just went off to college, let's say, right? You and your aunt who lives in another area, you're connecting, right? You have a relationship with each other. Well, Paul, like we read yesterday, has a relationship with the Ephesians, and he has this unique relationship with God. I wasn't called directly by God to go and preach the gospel to kings. I didn't get a calling like that on my life, but Paul did. Exciting stuff. And then we see it influence his passion and give him his rationale and fortify him even during times of great trial, because he knows this was the will of God. That's powerful. All right, number two in your study guide. Compare Paul's greetings here in Ephesians. Hold on, let me get some water. Compare Paul's greetings here in Ephesians with 1 Corinthians 1, 10 through 11, Galatians 1, 6 through 9, and 1 Timothy 1, 3 through 4. What differences in tone and topic do you read? Let's take a look. Let's go first to 1 Corinthians. That's back to the left if you're in Ephesians right now. So beginning of 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 10 through 11 there. Listen to what he says to the Corinthians and compare that with how he initially greets the Ephesians. "I appeal to you, brothers, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that all of you agree that there be no divisions among you, but that you be united in the same mind and the same judgment. For it has been reported to me by Chloe's people that there is quarreling among you, my brothers." All right. Now let's take a look at Galatians. What did you see there in 1 Corinthians, by the way? What he's hearing that something's been reported. He's hearing that there's been quarreling among them. He's writing this letter to set that right and get them back on the right track. Let's take a look at Galatians. Chapter 1, verses 6 through 9. "I'm astonished that you are so quickly deserting him who called you in the grace of Christ and are turning to a different gospel. Not that there is another one, but there are some who trouble you and want to distort the gospel of Christ. But even if we or an angel from heaven should preach to you a gospel contrary to the one we preach to you, let him be accursed. As we have said before, now we say again, if anyone is preaching to you a gospel contrary to the one you received, let him be accursed. All right, so do you feel that tone there? Loud, strong language. And Paul's heart, he's shocked, he's surprised that they're quickly, he says, deserting. He's astonished, deserting him who called the grace, you in the grace of Christ. All right, now let's take a look at 1 Timothy. This is a personal letter he wrote to Timothy. And he refers to Timothy as his true child in the faith. And we see Timothy's name come up in other books of the Bible, the epistles, Paul's life and referencing him. We see him come up in the book of Acts, and as we did yesterday in our background. Let's see what he says here in 1 Timothy 3 through 4. As I urged you when I was going to Macedonia, remain at Ephesus so that you may charge certain persons not to teach a different doctrine, nor to devote themselves to myths and endless genealogies and promote speculations rather than the stewardship from God that is by faith. Do you feel it? Admonition, admonition, admonition. Then we get to Ephesians, right? We have this letter to the Ephesians, and none of that. We don't have that tone, right? So Ephesians was written for a different purpose. There's a different tone, and there's a different topic involved. So as we continue to read in this letter, let's be mindful of that. That when we're reading one letter that might start off with a tone of admonition and instruction and getting people back on the right track, versus Ephesians, which isn't written like that. He says in the beginning that he's writing to the saints who are faithful in Christ Jesus. And magical tickly hairs. Hey, you're tickling my shoulder. He is writing to the Ephesians who have been faithful. And he's just continuing to encourage and instruct them in the word. Isn't that neat? It's a different tone there. So moving on then to number two. Paul refers to the Ephesians as, quote, saints who are faithful in Christ Jesus. Based on what you've read in the Acts account of these Ephesians, how had they demonstrated their faithfulness? Remember that? Back in Acts when we studied that yesterday. Well, the people that he engaged with, if you recall, when we went through chapter 19, chapter 20, they defended him during riots. They supported his ministry. He was eager to be with them because he wanted to celebrate the holy days with them, Pentecost, Passover. He encourages Timothy, as we just read, to stay back with the Ephesians, and he's got this heart for them. It's a huge, broad community. He doesn't even know everybody yet and their personal stories, I mean, still, because the community had grown so much, but he knows the tight group of people that he ministered to in Ephesus. You can feel his heart there. So what about today? What characteristics of faithfulness would others say that you have? What if you were there, you know, if Paul right now were writing this letter now to the church at Hacienda Heights, where I am, or the church in La Mirada, where many of you are, or the church in Anaheim, or the church in fill in the blank, some city, right, wherever you are. If this letter were written to your community church, your fellowship of believers, the faithful who are in the saints who are in your city, what characteristics of faithfulness would you want to have seen in your life? I want you to picture that right now and really think about your walk right now and what exemplifies you and is a characteristic of your faith in Christ. What does that look like? So take a minute to think about that. Write down your thoughts on there. And if Paul were writing a letter to you in your city, what would that look like? I think it's important for us to use our imagination in that way and consider the possibility either that we're not imagining well and we're not thinking of ourselves as faithful and why, get in touch with that, and then also that we would aspire to live lives of faithfulness and think in our mind what that looks like on us, like wearing it, trying it on and realizing, I want to be a person who's more characterized by my faithful support of people. For example, in our church, in La Mirada Christian Church, one of the things that's been on my heart lately is that our church understand what our missionaries do. Who are we serving and supporting through our tithes and offering? And instead of having our tithes and offering go to support missions groups that I'm not even aware of, I realize I want to know who these missionaries are and fellowship with them and connect with them more. I have a burning desire, I guess you would say, to really kind of start to know that better, understand who that is, and to be faithful in my support, not just in giving a tithe, but in praying for them specifically, really being aware. If you attend our church, you can go onto the La Mirada Christian Church website later on today and go look at the missionary page and find out who our missionaries are. Know that your tithe does support them. We give 10% right off the top of every dollar that comes into our church, we give to missions. So who are you supporting? How are you doing that? That's a way that we can show our faithfulness by connecting with the body of Christ that our church supports that we might not even know personally. All right, so things to think about today. All right, number four, moving on. Read Ephesians 1, 7 through 10 and Galatians 4, 4. What happened in the fullness of time? We see that same phrase in both of those passages. Let's take a look at that. Ephesians 7, 1, 7 through 10. In him, we have redemption through through his blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses according to the riches of his grace, which he lavished upon us in all wisdom and insight, making known to us the mystery of his will according to his purpose, which he set forth in Christ as a plan for the fullness of time to unite all things in him, things in heaven and things on earth. All right, now let's take a look at Galatians chapter 4, verse 4. Little tiny four, hard to find in my verses. Little tiny four inside my Bible verse. All right, I found four now. Let's read it. But when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law so that we might receive adoption as sons. So actually, it was Galatians 4 through 5. I'll need to make an update on that. Anyway, what happened in the fullness of time? Well, Christ redeemed us. Christ redeemed us through his birth. And then his blood, and united all things in him, on heaven and on earth, as it says in Ephesians, gave us as adoption, as sons and daughters, of course. So we have this concept of time being full, ripe, ready. The picture of it's full. It's like a pregnant woman who's full and ready. The fullness of time, the fullness of someone's pregnancy, the full ripeness of a fruit ready to be eaten. And this imagery here, when the time was perfect, when everything was filled in, the puzzle pieces were ready to go, when it was a fullness of time, then God acted. How often in our own lives do we wonder why this or that isn't happening? Why it's happening this way instead of that way? And perhaps we need to pause and consider that God has this under his control, and that we need to wait for the fullness of time. And also we need to make sure that our expectations for what does happen in that fullness are in check with God's, right? And that we're humble, that we would not even be able to fathom any more than the original followers of Christ, when Christ was born, would have been able to fathom that a king would be born in a stable. No one was sitting around imagining that. Prophecy had predicted it, of course. But people lose sight of that and realize they construct things in their own mind of how they want things to be. And maybe we need to just say, you know what, Father? Not my will, but yours be done in my life. And in the fullness of time, your fullness of time. All right, number five. Peter wrote to the faithful that God's divine power has granted to us all things that pertain to life and godliness, and that we are partakers in his divine nature. That's from 2 Peter 1, 3 through 4. We just did that study through Peter, a couple weeks ago, if you remember. Similarly, Paul wrote about the blessings we have in Christ. From Ephesians 1, 3 through 4, add to this list any truths about the blessings we have as those who are chosen in him. And in your study notes, I wrote out a couple of those to get you started. Verse 3, we're blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing. Verse 4, chose us before the foundation of the world. Let's continue on from there. In verse 4, even as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be what? Holy and blameless before him. We will be holy and blameless before him. Verse 5, he predestined us for adoption as sons through Jesus Christ. Moving on from there, according to the purpose of his will, to the praise of his glorious grace, with which he has blessed us in the beloved. We're blessed in the beloved. That's Jesus. We're blessed in Christ Jesus. Verse 7, in him we have what? Redemption through his blood. We have forgiveness of our sins, our trespasses, according to the riches of his grace. So his grace is lavished on us. Verse 8. in all wisdom and insight, making known to us the mystery of his will. His will has been made known to us. The mystery of his will has been made known to us. According to this, to his purpose, which he set forth in Christ as a plan for the fullness of time to unite all things in him, things in heaven and on earth. In him we have obtained an inheritance. You write that down. We've obtained an inheritance. Who doesn't love an inheritance, right? According to the purpose of him who works all things according to the counsel of his will, so that we who are the first to hope in Christ. So we're the first to hope in Christ. We are speaking of us as those who've received Christ Jesus. Verse 13, we're sealed with the promised Holy Spirit. In him you also, when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, and believed in him, were sealed with the promised Holy Spirit. And verse 14, who is the guarantee of our inheritance until we acquire possession of it to the praise of his glory. So there's more blessings to come in Ephesians as we continue to read. And I'd like you to save that space and keep on writing down who we are in Christ. And you're going to start to see the difference between who we are now in Christ and who we were or could have been had we not come to Christ, had we had not had the grace lavished on us. So we're going to pause right here in our study and continue this tomorrow. But today, what I'd like you to do is go back and write out your memory verse again. So my memory verse is Ephesians 1:3-4. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places, even as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and blameless before him. That's my memory verse. And pick one for yourself from chapter 1 and write that out today. And then get yourself ready to dive in together again. We'll continue on tomorrow, digging a little bit further in to verses 1 through 14 together. Okay, more stuff to learn tomorrow. Looking forward to being back here with you. Thank you for being with me. If this is the first time that you have joined us in this Bible study, welcome. And if this is your 101st time, welcome too. I'm glad you're here as well. But share the podcast, share the video, let people know that you're listening and enjoying. Most importantly, that you're in God's Word and that you are learning. Maybe gather a truth from today's lesson and put that out on Facebook, Instagram, social media of some kind. Take a picture of your Bible study, click that there. There is an amazing community that we have access to in social media. Isn't it powerful? One image that we put out there, one comment that we could put out there, we have no idea whose lives it could touch and the impact that can have, because God's Word's alive. And when people see that you have hope and that you're learning and that you're in God's Word, they want that too. People are lost and they need hope. And so let's get the Word of God out there. Let's encourage other people to be a part of Bible study, joining us, whether it's live here on Facebook in the mornings or listening to the YouTube or the podcast later on, whatever it is, let's get the word out there, encourage people to do that. So share this podcast, share the YouTube video or the Facebook, and like I said, take a picture, write a note, share your memory verse, whatever it is. Let people hear your heart and your love for Christ in that way, and let's encourage others to do the same. Real quick, actually, before I totally sign off, I just want to remind you that our book club is concluding, and we've been reading all summer long through Seasons of Waiting by Betsy Childs Howard. It's a short book. You could read it before we get together next, which will be the last time we get together, and it's this Saturday, August 26th, and that will be in, at 10 a.m. It's a brunch, and there's no charge. Just show up and enjoy lovely brunch together with me at my home and talk about the book. And so read that book, finish it up, and then come to my house this Saturday at 10 a.m. And those of you who are listening and it's past Saturday, sorry, you missed out on a fabulous brunch. But those of you who are listening beforehand, hope to see you there. Please RSVP. You have my cell phone number. Send me a text. Let me know that you want to come, and I'll make sure I set a place for you. All right, that's it. Signing off for today. Have a great rest of your day. God bless you. And you are loved and prayed for. You know that, I hope. I'll see you back here tomorrow. Bye-bye.